You may be dismissed. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And the adults and those that are in the sanctuary, if you would turn to 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Amen. Praise God. We're so glad what God's doing. Amen. In lives and how God's answering. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, and I want to start reading at verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that they were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Somebody say greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I'm glad I have a God to encourage myself in. Some people can't encourage themselves in their God because their God will let them down. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, the Lord answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. I'm glad I have a God that gives me victory. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your power. Lord, the way that you have touched, the way you minister. We thank you for everything you've done. We give you praise and we give you thanks today, God, for what you're going to speak and how you're going to deal with us. We love and praise you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Everybody say amen. You may be seated. This chapter is amazing. David and his men are fighting elsewhere. And while they're away from home, the old enemy came to their house and their home, their city, where they were stationed at. Took their wives, their babies, their children, their daughters, their sons, everything they had. And then burned the city behind. When David and his men come back, there was nothing left but the ashes and the remains of an evil plot of the enemy. It's just like the enemy. He seeks to destroy. And this is what happened. They didn't kill their people, but they took them captive. And David and his men knew what was going to come next. They'll take their daughters. They'll take their children. Their generation would be completely doomed. Because the enemy is not just there to play. The enemy likes to toy with the brain and the heart of people. And he likes to mock. He likes to steal. He likes to kill. But the bottom line, he loves to destroy. David, his men, when they come back, they were in deep distress upon discovering the destruction. And the Bible says they wept until they did not have the strength to weep anymore. I don't know if you've ever had that place of despair where you could cry and cry. and cry. Then finally, you emptied the bucket. No more tears could come out. You squeezed and you tried, and there was no more things inside of your head or whatever they came from, wherever they come from. They wept until they couldn't weep no more. Then they got mad at David and said, "We need to stone our leader. Look what he got us into. Had we not followed him and stayed home, we'd have been able to whip this little pest called the Amalekites." The Bible says, here's David now, blamed and in despair, but he found a place to encourage himself in. The Lord is God. So David, he finds that strength and encouragement. Something awakes inside of David that caused him to say, "I may be at my bottom, but I don't have to stay at my bottom. I have a mighty God." He encouraged himself in God, the scripture says. And he told the priest, "Bring me the ephod." And he begins to seek the Lord's guidance. And he asks the Lord, "Should we pursue? Should we go after these that have stolen everything we got?" And the Lord said, "Pursue and take them, for I will give you back and you're going to recover all." I thank for today that God has victory for us when we seek him. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about that moment of great awakening. In that moment of despair, something happened where David had to hit the bottom of the bottom. Had no more tears. All the grief and all the frustration was there. The madness was there. And in the midst of all this melting, finally David had a great awakening. He went to God. I'm glad that the hand of God still touches us. And God still awakens the fight inside of us. Something inside of us that tells us, keep on going. When we have no reason to go forward. When we say we have no strength to go forward. I want to tell you, faith is stronger than any excuse you got. You better have a strong strength. Or if I could put it that way, a resilience that is stronger than every excuse. There are excuses and they're available, and the devil will make many of them. Friend, I have no excuse when I have a living God. Amen. My God is greater than any peril, problem that comes my way. I'm thankful this morning that I have a wonderful Savior who's not out of order, not out of supply, who has not weakened one bit, but my God still can, and my God is still able today. He sits on the throne and he still answers our prayers. The psalmist also said, in my despair, Psalm the third chapter, I cried to the Lord and he heard me out of his holy hill. I'm glad that I have a God that still hears. I have a God that still answers. I have a God that still attends to our prayers. How beautiful. David got his men rallied, but only 600 had the strength to go follow David to recover everything. 200 were so weary they had to stay back. And you know, everybody could look at those 200 and say, "You bunch of losers." The Bible says that David and those men that were strong enough, they went. And when they came, they went to against the enemy, they got everything back that the enemy had taken. And when they came back to the place where those 200 weary men were, some of those that went with David to conquer said, "No, we're not going to share the spoil with these 200." And David said, "Oh, yes, we are." How many has ever been in a time where you were down and you were there in your weak moment, your body was dead, and you needed something. And thank God there was somebody that had enough charge in their battery to bump you and charge you and get you back on your feet. Thank God for that. David said, not only that, but we're going to share with Judah. We're going to take care of our brothers and sisters. As a result, he meant even under pressure, under the threat of rebellion of his own men, David still turned to God. God still guided with a great victory. And I love it because this powerful story begins to tell us even the power when something awakens within a person at a time of despair. Amen. Oh, what a rich, profound spiritual, amen, dimension that we could get in the midst of a despairing moment where you feel that there is no hope. I'm glad that my God still can awaken something inside of us that says, hey, I still have a God. Amen. The key elements here. Despair acted as a catalyst for transformation. I'm going to tell you there's been times where you and I have reached our zigzag to where there was nothing there. We felt burnt out. We felt everything taken from us. We felt that there was no purpose and no hope. But I'm glad that God had used that moment of despair in my life at that point to teach me that when I feel everything is out of my reach, there's a God who still has the reach. There's still a God that I could call on, a God that I could lean on, and a God that I could know who answers when there seemed not to be an answer. That great awakening of faith and trust in God. Amen. Despair often brings people to the point where they must choose between giving up or turning to God. And this could be a moment where faith awakens or is rekindled. In Psalms, the 42nd chapter, it says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Then he said, put your hope in God. I'm glad that I have a hope in Jesus Christ. Something that has a depth that is higher and a height that is higher than what I could fathom in my brain or feel in my feelings. There's a God who still has power today. A God who's still able. I'm telling you, he's well able to answer even today. Amen. Somebody ought to thank God that God hadn't changed. Amen. You ought to lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for still being on the side of those that feel hopeless, those that feel bottomed out, those who felt that the charge has been gone and their battery's dead. I'm thankful for the glory of the Holy Ghost today. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Man, I want to applaud God today because he gives that inner strength for us to make it, resilience that comes in. And we recognize that our reliance is not upon our arm or our strength, our wits or our ability. We recognize that it's going to have to come through the Almighty God. And that's where we trust and we give the battle to God himself. Amen. I want to just tell somebody today, quit trying to fight your battle on your own abilities. And lean on God and let God be God in that situation. Praise God. The purpose and vision becomes clearer when the fog of despair begins to move upon you. A person, you know, it's like you have no moment of clarity. Everything's coming against you and challenge you. And you feel, oh, I don't feel like it. Moses was just hiding in the wilderness. Running. Moses thought, oh, well. But I want to tell you, God met with a burning bush. And at that burning bush experience, God rekindled and awoke something inside of Moses that said, Moses, I know where you at, and I'm still God. I'm thankful today that when you stand for God, God takes good record, and God sees where you're at. Hey, God's still on the throne, saint. Hallelujah. That burning bush, that encounter, awoken something in him. It awakened him to a place of destiny and purpose. Let me tell you, every one of us has a purpose in God. God has no second string individuals. Hear me? God has no bench warmers. God has no place in his kingdom for somebody just to ride the bus and just be there. But God has a purpose for every soul in his kingdom. You have a place in God. You have a purpose in God. Amen. God has a cause for your life. Hear me, friend. You may feel like a nobody, but God still uses nobodies. Hear me. The enemy wants to say, well, you can't sing a lick. You can't play anything. You can't do certain things. Or maybe now you're feeble and your body's feeble. You can't do what you used to. But you still have the same God as was back in your strong days. And that same God has not changed one bit. You can't run like you used to, but you still can worship. You still can be instrumental. You still can be a mighty tool for God. Hallelujah. Spiritual awakening comes at the moments of desperation, the fog. In our lives, sometimes we face trials and we ask God, I don't understand what I'm going through. You know, if God allows something to come up on your horizon, there's a purpose for it. And when God allows a trouble, trial, or something on your horizon, don't you know He's God enough to help you through that storm? God is God enough to help you through the circumstance of your life. The scripture again says, it's God before you, who can be against you? But the enemy wants to get you down at that point of despair and tell you to throw in the towel, so to speak. But I'm glad that in the time of loss, in the time of failure, in the time of burnout, in the time of ashes, in the time of hopelessness, I have a God who is able, when I lean on Him, to do above and beyond what I dream or fathom. My God's still on the throne today. Great awakenings. Amen. Have you ever been between a rock and a hard place? Have you ever been in that place where everything was happening? Let me tell you the story. There's a book called Between a Rock and a Hard Place. The young man was 27 years old. This will be 28. His name was Aaron Lee Ralston. He lived in Colorado, and ever since a young boy, when they moved to the Denver area, he was interested in climbing. There are 59 mountain peaks that are above 14,000 feet in height. They call them the Great 14 because they have 48. Pikes Peak is one of them, but there are 58 others in Colorado. He was determined. He said, I'm going to climb all 59 of these 14ers. They're higher than 14,000 feet. He said, not only am I going to climb them, I'm going to do it by myself in the wintertime. Because nobody else, it is not recorded that anybody else has done this. And he started from a young man with that great desire trying to train. He rode bicycles. He worked hard to try to train. And in his training, he loved to hike. He loved these canyons. He loved these mountains. He loved extreme places. And one time, he decided to go into Utah, called Blue John Canyon. He decided just to go there and go a little hiking and rappelling. And it was just some deep canyons. And that day he went, and he was about 50 miles from what we call civilization in the Blue John Canyon. Steep, steep walls, canyons. Call them slot canyons. Very narrow passages. And there, Aaron began to lower himself, rappelling down. And he gets to a place where there's a boulder stuck in between the slot. And when he starts descending, somehow or another, that boulder dislodged. And it fell, and he fell. And when they hit the bottom of the canyon, his right hand was stuck between the boulder and the canyon. I want to tell you, 800-pound boulder, and a man probably 150 pounds, and he thought, what am I going to do now? He tried to pull. He tried to relax. He talked to himself, maybe if I just relax a little bit, I could get my hand out. He tried different things. Now, he wasn't planning on a big deal. This was really Mickey Mouse to him. He was just going to enjoy himself. So when he left, all he took with him was just a little bit of water and two burritos. And there he was trapped, and he couldn't get out. Well, pretty soon in his adrenaline and despair, he started sipping the water thinking, you know, I didn't tell anybody that I was going here. Nobody knows where I'm at. And they're not going to miss me till a couple days. Day one went by. He tried chiseling at the rock with another rock. He tried everything. Still, he didn't succeed. He tried pulling. And after a while, despair starts coming in. Second day, still. By that time, he nibbled on his burritos and drank all his water. And it started getting bad. Third day, he's still pinned, right hand. And he thought, maybe I'll just cut my arm off. And he pulled out his multi-tool, you know, one of those knives that folds out that has a pair of pliers and a knife, and he tried to cut a little bit. An old dull knife wouldn't even work. And in despair, he's there thinking, what am I going to do? I can't pick this up. I can't pull myself out. I'm just in a bad fix. This continued on. Pretty soon he got so dehydrated that he knew after taking a lot of survival courses that, you know, it got desperate that he even drank his own urine to stay alive. Here he was in a bind. And when you're in a bind, you'll do desperate things. And he became delirious. Things started coming to him. And he thought, well, I'm just going to die here. In fact, he carved his name on the sheer rock right there with his one free hand. He carved the day that he was born, and he carved the day that he presumed that he was going to die. And he took his phone or a device and recorded himself saying a few things to his family. And it means, if you find this, I want to let you know what happened. And he gave an example and gave his farewells. And he thought, I'm going to be gone by tomorrow. All through that night, he had weird hallucinations. Weird hallucinations. Day five was so bad. And somewhere in the course of that long night, in his hallucinations, he saw himself with a child he did not have yet. And he was missing his right arm. It gave him such a hope that in the morning time when dawn came, that dream or vision or whatever it was of him having a child and missing an arm, it gave him a fight. It woke something inside of him that said, you know, I could survive. Well, at dawning of the next morning, he looked, and already his right hand was starting to decompose. And he got to thinking, the only way that I could get out is for me to do an amputation of my own arm. But there was a problem. He said, I got to break my arm, the bones, because I have a dull knife. And he began to use the weight of his body as a torque and against the wedge rock and trying to break it. And finally, he broke both the bones in his wrist. And he took that knife that was dull, 2-inch knife, and started hacking on his arm. And he, knowing tourniquets and stuff like that, the backpack little thing called a camel's back, which is a canteen on your back, and it has a tube that comes up here to the front. You'll see bikers here have them. And whenever you get thirsty, you just reach over. And he took that tubing off, that plastic tubing, and he used it as a tourniquet as he started amputating his arm. And he had to use the pliers to cut through tendons. And he saved the arteries for last. And he used the tourniquet. And he said, finally, with about an hour of working, he became free. He said, whenever he cut through the last of it, and when he was free, he said, something surged all over him. And he said, that 8 miles back to my vehicle, I can make it. He had to rappel off a 60-foot sheer cliff with one arm. And Fred, here he is in the middle of nowhere. And that fight was in him to head back to that vehicle. Somewhere's about 6 miles, almost to his vehicle, he stumbled on a group of people from the Netherlands who were on vacation. And they fed him and gave him water and made him sick. He was already shaking and a hypothermia. And not only that, but your body starts shaking at that place of, shock. And they covered him up. And while some of them went to alert the authorities, they pulled a helicopter in and they rescued him. And I want you to know that that man survived. And his whole goal in life came back to him. He said, I'm still going to climb all 59 of those mountains in Colorado. Do you know he's alive and he is doing that today with one arm? Amen. I want to tell somebody, something awakened, he said. Something came alive in me on that fifth day or that fifth night when I had that weird dream that I had a child and I was playing with that child and only had one arm. I want to tell you this, isn't it amazing how God could awaken something inside of us? Amen. In a moment where we feel trapped in a moment that we feel that there is no hope. You remember the Bible talks about four leprous men who were dying? And they looked at themselves. The enemy was just right there. The people behind them in their local city, their family, they were shut off. There was a drought. Everything was against them. And they said, you know, why sit here until we die? If we sit here, we're going to die. And we can go to the enemy camp. At least there's a hope that the enemy will feed us. But why sit here until we die? And those four leprous men determined within themselves, we're going towards the enemy's camp. And because of their determination, the Bible says, as they started getting near the camp of the enemy, all of a sudden God began to amplify the footsteps of these four men. The enemy started looking around. They said, oh, it must be an army that's coming against us. And they ran and they left everything in their tents. They left food on the fire. They left all their things and goods and possessions. And four men stumbled in the camp. Nobody was there. The roast was up on the fire. They ate and filled themselves. Amen. But where they would never reach that place. You know what they did with the goodness of what they found? They got to start thinking, you know, we got a city. We got a family. We got children back there in our city that needs to eat this. They went back and told everybody, hey, come see what we found. Look what God has done for us. I believe when God wakes you up, God gives you a testimony that you can go back to your family, go back to your co-workers and share with them what God has done. I'm thankful for the day that God jumped my battery and God gave me a charge again, that he woke something inside of me and gave me a hope and told me, hey, you have freedom now. Go back and share what God done. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing what God does when we get between our rock and a hard place? Amen. Psalmist also said, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and the God of my salvation heard me out of his holy temple. He heard me. Amen, and answered my prayer. I want to talk to somebody today. Amen. Oh, there's all kind of things that happens in our life to awaken us. There's things that will happen. There's tragedies happen. It's doctors' pronouncements. Amen, to let you know, hey, you're at the dead end of your life. There's things that will happen where impossibility comes against you and you feel that there's no hope. But I'm glad at those moments where it seems that you're at your dead end. Amen. God has the ability to awaken. I've seen backsliders, amen, that are in the middle of the hog pen of life. Something gets a hold of them. They feel the touch of God. They feel hope awaken something inside of, why am I doing this? Why am I acting like this? Why am I participating in this? Oh, I want to get back to the house of God. I'm thankful for that great awakening that God has. And I've seen people go through struggles in life. Good people that are living for God. They go through long, dry places, barren places, where they haven't felt the power of the Holy Ghost. Everything that's come against them, they feel whipped. They feel underneath that boulder. They feel like everything is there, and they don't know what to do. But I'm thankful that God is still awakened, and God is able to give you victory and liberty when you look to Him and seek Him. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. I'm telling somebody today, amen, God wants to awaken something inside of this church. God is wanting to awaken something inside of you and let you feel, amen, that there again is a hope. There's a river that still flows. In your desert, there's a God who still answers. It may come by the means of a raven that the God of heaven has to feed you. But God will take care of those that will look to Him. My hallelujah. Oh, amen. God is on the throne today. When everything around you seems to be throneless, even when the gods of this world seem to scream loud how great they are, I'm glad I have a God who hears and a God who answers. When you've been punched, and you're punched drunk in life, and you feel like you can't even stand on your feet, you try to walk with God, you try to live for God. Every step along the way, it seems something else hits you. Isn't it crazy that things just don't happen in single punches? The enemy knows how to punch you with one thing, you turn around to something else. I mean, everything happens, it seems. Here you are, you get punched with one, and you brace yourself and say, well, And before you could even get your mind clear, something else hits you. Doesn't that happen to you? Yes, it happens to you. You're human. And that's how it happens to the enemy. But in the moment of the fog, in the moment of your despair, I'm telling you, amen, let God awaken something inside of you. Let something arise, amen, oh, something that would awaken, amen, your spirit and let you realize, hey, the battle is not yours. Amen, you're not big enough, you're not man enough, a woman enough, you're not strong enough and smart enough, but I have a God who's still God. I have a God who would never leave me, a God that would never forsake me, a God who will not turn His back. Back on me. Holy awakening. Something about it. I've seen people go through life and never do they ever seem to really live for God. It's always hit and miss. Something happened one day in their life. Something awakened. And they finally got on board with God. I've seen people raised in church. They could quote every scripture. They knew every detail of the doctrine. But one day, something came alive in them. Something awakened inside their spirit that they got on board and they started worshiping God. And they looked around and said, I never felt this before. I've never seen this before. Even I never had this feeling before. Oh, I received the Holy Ghost as a young man. I got baptized as a young man. But I never had this surge of power and satisfaction and completeness. Amen. I'm telling you, amen, sometimes it takes a great awakening. You know, Apostle Paul, he was Saul. He felt like he was doing what was right. On the road to Damascus, you read in Acts the 9th chapter. He felt like he was doing what was right. He felt like he was in the will of God. This man was well educated. He knew the Jewish law. He could quote the Old Testament. He knew the different things. But he didn't know the God of the Testament. Woo-hoo. Amen. It took a great awakening for Saul on that road to Damascus, when finally he said, Lord, who art thou? And I love the answer. The Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou hast persecuted. I'm glad that God could give a great awakening today. Amen. The glory of God could shake somebody. Amen. Oh, the light of heaven could all of a sudden turn in the face of somebody and blind them. That they had to say, God, who are you? What are you up to? Don't you ever give up on your lost loved ones. They may be going the wrong direction. As long as their heart is thumping and there's blood flowing, there's a hope. And friend, even when it stops flowing, I have a God that can give hope again. Amen. Amen. What what you put on the altar, keep on the altar. When you put before the throne of God, don't take it back. Just because you didn't see it instantly answered. Amen. That lost child that you have, amen, you put on the altar and put before the throne of God. Amen. You need to thank God today. Lord, you still hear my prayer. You still hear my prayer. You are still the God that answers. I'm talking to somebody about your faith and for you to believe God when you pray and believe God when you ask. Amen. God's still in the business today, and God still wants you to awaken something inside of you. With God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. The great awakening. You know, sometimes God awakes you and you have to, as gross as it was a while ago, talking about that boy having to cut off his right arm. Sometimes you're going to cut some things away in your life. Not too good of a story right before lunch, huh? But whatever it takes for you to get loose, you to waken up and say, I can make it. That young man, Aaron, said this: the moment I was free, he had to use those pliers, and I'm not trying to get gross, but he used those pliers to finish the cutting. And when he did, he said, the moment that I was free, he said, all the surge of adrenaline that I've never felt before came back to me. And he said, I can make it. I want to tell somebody today, I feel the touch of the Lord, even the surge of the Almighty God right now, for somebody to awaken your heart. Amen. And to give you hope that you can make it. The devil wants to tell you, you cannot make it to heaven. You cannot make it. Look how lousy you are. Look how bad you are. But I want to tell you, amen, I recognize I'm bad. I recognize how sorry of an individual I am. But I look to a merciful God and a great God. Amen. Oh, I lift up my eyes into the hills. The psalmist said, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who had made the heavens and the earth. Hey, friend, the God of heaven is on our side today. When we look to him and give him the battle, I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care how sad of a life you've lived. He went to Calvary for those that would turn to him and turn everything over to him. Amen. Lift your hands with me this morning. The Holy Ghost is in this place. God's here today to awaken and charge somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel the holy jumper cables of heaven for somebody's old dead battery this morning. Amen. God wants to help somebody. Amen. To have a jump start back. An awakening, a reality. Amen. Awake that, hey, he's still on the throne. He hasn't stopped. Amen. Oh, he hasn't given up. Amen. Oh, he's still reaching toward you. He's still wanting to fight your battles. Oh, I don't care how bad it's been. Amen. Oh, I have a God who paid for this. A God who died for this and rose again for me. Hallelujah. Lift your voice. Lift your voice to God this morning. Stand with us. Stand with us today. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Great awakening. Hallelujah. You know, this week, several times the Lord has dealt with me about getting back to the basics, back to the basics, back to the basics. Sometimes we want complexity, we want a good theatrics. We want a preacher to preach to us with such theatrics and storyline. The Holy Ghost wants us to get back to the basics. The basics is still believing that he is. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. Turning over to God. That's what I want to say today. Take me back. Take me back to the place where I first believed. Take me back to the simplicity. Where that first time I ever felt your spirit, Lord. If I had to go back to the basics. At the basics. The ABCs of living for God. Is still a pure place. The problem is when we think we know how to live for God, and we get all dignified and lifted up in our ways, we think we have it all together, but yet we're not being a conqueror. Something's wrong. When a man thinks himself to be something that he's not, he's setting himself up for failure. But when a person gets to that place and realizes, I'm a nobody, I'm empty, and I can't make it without you, Jesus. I thought I had strength. And you get back to the basics. How beautiful it is. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you come stand around the front this morning? Lift your hands. Ask God to take you back.
Take me back.
Take me back, Lord.
Take me back,
take me back
dear
to
Lord,
the beginning.
To the place where I first received you.
Take me back.
Take me back.
Come on, let him jump you back. Let him
take
jump your battery.
Take me back, dear Lord, where
let him give you another jump start today of mercy. Let him flood you with hope, cleansing, help.
Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back.
Come on, pray it. Take me back.
Take me back.